Let's sing Our God together. Why don't you guys stay standing for this song?
Welcome each other to church this morning.
Shake her hand.
Welcome to church this morning. Nice to see everyone. I know there's been a lot of sickness going around that's not COVID. I've had a lot of friends and family that have been really struggling with whatever this is, this respiratory thing. So we're praying that they're on the other end of that. But we're glad to see you here this morning. This next song we haven't done in a little while. We did do it at the Journey. So if you were at the Journey, this is a repeat. It's called Ancient Words. You know, we live in a time in history where, unlike any other time, that we have access to these words in every language, pretty much. So everybody has access to it, and it is available to them for the most part. And not only as a book, like an actual page book, but the internet, right? So when you need to, you're thinking of a verse and you can't think of what it actually is or where it's found, you go to the internet, right? So we have access to that, like, unlike any other time. But I'm not sure that we take advantage of it always like we should. And I got thinking about last night as we were singing this about the guys in the Bible that were, you know, the Israelites, that they were made to memorize sections of scripture, like sections, like, and we don't do that anymore. And even as, you know, when I was growing up in Sunday school, we had to memorize scripture in Sunday school. And it's kind of become one of those things we're so used to just having quick access to it that we don't memorize anymore. But then there's times when we really need that word, those ancient words, to be true in our lives, and we can't think of where it is or where it's found, right? So I think that's kind of a lost thing, and I encourage you to do that. And I'm guilty, just like anybody else, to go in the easy route. But the words are so important. Like it says, ancient words, they're ever true. They can change me. They can change you in that moment that you need it, right? If you come with an open heart, let those words impart the truths that you need to hear this season, this Christmas season. Even though you may think you know it, this story, let it be new each day. So let's sing this out.
Stage, they have died. let the ancient words impart.
Amen. Now to some Christmas songs. This one you should know, and I'm hoping that you're proclaiming it this season, Joy to the World. Next song I always love to do every year. It's called Christmas Offering. We did this at the Journey. I hope that you can offer yourself this Christmas for whatever he has for you over this season, that you'll be an offering of worship, an offering to someone else, and just allow him to use you this Christmas season. I think last year, the year before, me and Kathy did this as a special. You might know this song. I think it's by Casting Crowns. It's been out for a few years. But this one is one of those ones that's, you know, Andrew spoke at the beginning that sometimes this time of year is not great for everybody. It's not a happy time. And people put on a happy face because they feel like that's what people want them to do. And sometimes when you're singing carols, maybe you don't feel like singing carols, but you do it anyway. But God is ready to meet you in that moment. And I think we need to not put aside those frustrations, but maybe focus on the glory of Christ instead of our situation. That this time of year, that he's there to walk you through it, but his glory and his majesty this time of year is so much more important than what we're going through right now. You know, we have that future hope. That should be enough. And sometimes it's not this time. And let's be real. That's kind of what this song is about. That in the moment, in those frustrating moments, maybe seek outside that and try to see the good in what's really happening in this time of the season. You guys may remember this song. So if you remember it, feel free to sing along.
How's everyone? Good? Good. It's been weird. It's been a long week, so it's kind of one of those things when I ask, sometimes I'm scared to ask, how are you doing, right? Because stuff is coming out. It's kind of interesting. And Christmas, again, is one of those times when people, if they are battling something, it seems very much amplified. Right, I've been checking on Kirtland. Kirtland thought, like, at the beginning of the week that he was coming back to square and normal, and then he realized that he was very, very wrong. And some of you may know, but they had, you know, Everly, her temperature started to spike, so they had one of those moments that young parents do where they were very, very nervous of what was going on, so they got her to Kentville, and they jumped the line because they had a little one. And Victoria and Everly and Kirtland are all having a hard time. There's a few times, because I could hear Kirtland's voice, I called him just to make sure he was still alive. And I saw his car here today, and I was like, okay. I'm going to go inside. If he's not in there, I'll go find his corpse later. But he's here, but he can't speak, which is amazing. So he's got to that point where he's got everything out over the last week and a half that could possibly go wrong with him, but it's taken his toll on his voice. So now it's weird, because I can't hear him. And we dig at each other, and we laugh with each other, and I came in, and he went, I went, what? I went, wow. I said, I'm so glad that you were alive, but I'm sad that I can't hear you. So if you're battling some of this stuff or know somebody who is, don't feel strange about giving a call, even if you can barely understand them. Don't feel weird about dropping off some chicken soup in this time to a neighbor who may be struggling, just to make sure that people are okay. Well, guys, last week we started Advent, and that was kind of amazing in this realization that we're already here. Like, Christmas is coming, I'm not ready for it, but luckily Allison was, and she does all that sort of stuff, but I was going, wow, I needed to take a pause last week, because it's just the locomotive has been chugging along, and I didn't realize how fast it's been moving, and I went, wow, Advent is here. And so what is Advent? It's the celebration of the arrival of God with us. Beautiful. Beautiful. And so the next few weeks, we're going to continue to look at some of the Old Testament covenants just to kind of show us how important mankind is to an almighty God, that you are his prized creation. It blows my mind. And last week, we looked at the covenant of Adam and Eve and then Noah. Right? And we were reminded of some beautiful things that even though we make a mess, and very, very quickly, if you were here last week, we realized how quickly the wheels came off of it, right? Even though we make a mess, God will be faithful. And even though we seem to be notorious at breaking the covenant with God, God does not break his covenant with us. Aren't you grateful for that this morning? Right? So we talked about Advent begins in the dark, but God's great plan was to shine the light of the world upon mankind. And today, we lit the peace candle, right? Like, Advent should remind us of our peace, amen? And this morning, as we've already read about Abraham and Sarah, that's kind of where we're going to go today. Many of you know the story of Abram. Right? This character who just a chapter later would have his name changed to Abraham, right? And I want to encourage you guys, because these are such big stories that as I've been trying to prepare for this, I'm going, man, this is just too big, right? And I like breaking things down, as you know, chronologically. I like going through series. I even like preaching through the whole book of the Bible. So kind of sharing this great big story in one message bothers me a little bit. So go back in Genesis 12 is where Abram's story starts. He becomes Abraham, but he is a major player in the Bible. He's one of those guys that really, if you're a person of faith, you should have done a character study on him, because he is the father of the Jewish nation, and he is the root of God's chosen people. He's a big deal, right? But what I'm talking about today is his story is one that is very uncomfortable. Like, his story is a crazy story. It's a story filled with unknowns. So it's kind of amazing to me that every time it seemed that God encountered Abram, who would be Abraham, that his life was turned upside down with little to no knowledge. And yet God expected him to have peace to move forward into the unknown. Right? Like God's first conversation with him. He's like, you need to leave your home. Right? And he's like, what? And they're like, yeah, you pack up everything and hit the road, Jack. And he's going, my name's not Jack. He goes, I know. It's just a saying. Abram, get everything packed up and leave. And he's going, well, where am I going? Right? And God doesn't tell him that even. He says, go to the place that I will show you. So what is Abraham? Like that's awful. Like, okay, I do that to Allison sometimes. Where are we going? I say, I'll show you when we get there. Then she knows it's bad, right? If I'm not willing to divulge the information, she knows she's gotten into it, and she's already in a moving car. She can't leave. So she's going, oh, no, right? So it's one of those things where all of a sudden Abram's going with no information of where he is to move to, and God is asking him, go in peace. No, right? It would have been much easier if he had known where the journey was leading. But then all of a sudden, if you guys know this story, they come to this place and he goes with his cousin Lot and they're sitting there and they're overlooking the land and they have to get their family set up. So Abraham says to Lot, which side do you want? And if you know this story, again, that's why I want to encourage you to go back and read it. Lot chooses what looks like the best piece of land. And why wouldn't he? Because Abraham had asked him. Right? So he goes, well, if you're giving me the choice, right, I'm going to take that nice piece over there. And so Abraham says, okay, well, you go and settle there. Now, if you follow that story, and that's why I encourage you to read it, you will come to the conclusion that the grass isn't always greener on the other side of the fence, because Lot actually settles down to a place that's called Sodom and Gomorrah, or his neighbors. And that turns into struggle after struggle after struggle for him. But it's kind of one of those things where all of a sudden, so let's go back to our scripture that we had today in Genesis 15. Okay, all of this has taken place. God has uprooted Abraham without any kind of knowledge of where he's going. He gets there. He doesn't seem to get the choice piece of land. His whole world has changed, and he's doing this at a ripe age. And in Genesis 15, as Brenda already read, it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and the very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And then he took him outside and said, look up into the sky. Count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he told him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited him to him as righteousness. Think about that for a minute. Abraham has had struggle after struggle after struggle, but one of the struggles that's revealed here is that, you know what, Sarah has been barren. And he's at an age in his life where he's going, you know what, God, you keep telling me you got great plans for me, but it's my servant who's going to get my wealth because you haven't even honored us with an offspring. Then this crazy covenant in this crazy story is revealed where God says, Abram, go outside and look up. Can you imagine that moment? And he knows that his wife is barren. They've tried for years and years and years. He knows that he is getting old and she is getting old. And you know what? This time for even having a child is kind of a fantasy. And then God says, look at the stars of the sky. If you can count them, which you can't, right? That is what your descendants are going to be like. And Abraham is overwhelmed. They had been living with that pain and that uncertainty for so long, and then God all of a sudden reveals that he is going to make him the father of a great nation. And still he's going, but we can't have kids, right? And we're getting even older, right? And so what did he do? He said, well, I'm so old, we better get at it. And some of you, again, if you go back and read this story, you'll know that they tried to solve the problem themselves, Sarah and Abraham. They come up with this idea. You know what, Abraham, if you sleep with Hagar, our servant, and she has a child, well, then maybe that's how God's going to give us the heir. So they start taking matters into their own hands, and that's how Ishmael comes along. Do a character study, trust me. Because Ishmael, Woo! Like there is a whole root that comes off of that that is a fascinating story that gives us insights into history and into this whole piece that God has together. But keep in mind here, while Abraham and Sarah are trying to solve the problem, right, of having a kid which seemed impossible, right, more time is even passing. God keeps telling them to wait. Do you know that God's timing is not your timing? But that's a terrible lesson that we learn in our Christian walk, isn't it? How many of you have ever been asked to wait on something when it comes to God? Like he hears you. You know that he can answer because he is still the answer. You know that. And so your faith isn't broken, but God says anyway, you know what? I hear you, and you're going to have to wait. It's hard. I honestly think that that's the hardest lesson that we learn in our Christian walk, because we have access to this almighty God who we get to call friend. Are you kidding me? We can boldly go before his throne and make all our requests known. But our wisdom isn't God's wisdom, and his ways are higher than our ways. And there's times, even though he hears you, he says, you know what, hold on. Hold on. God, I've been holding on forever. Do you know that Abraham and Sarah waited another 25 years after the covenant was made with him? 25 years. How old was Abraham? If you know the story, it's fascinating. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. And God finally fulfills the promise. Along comes Isaac. And that wouldn't be freaky enough. That all of this was happening to them, and all of this waiting, and all of this unknown. But then you come to Genesis 22, verses 1 to 3. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. What? Like, haven't we been tested enough, God, right? And he says to him, Abraham, here I am, Abraham replied. And then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain that I will show you. Like, full disclosure, if I was Abraham and God started calling my name again, I don't think I would answer. Like, when would you stop talking to God? Like this never turns out good for this fella, right? Abraham? Yeah, God, it's me. Now I want you to kill your son. And yet, listen to this next verse. It says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. How in the world can you find peace in the midst of insanity? Why in the world would God, after Abraham and Sarah had waited so long and been through so much pain in the journey and had so many questions, right? Why in the world, after this miracle baby was finally theirs, would God ask Abraham to kill him? Like, there would be so many follow-up questions that I would have that I wouldn't have got up early in the morning, let me tell you. That trip probably would have been postponed, if we're being honest. And yet Abraham gets up early the next morning to obey. And it's amazing because you think of the conversations, right? Because Isaac is going with him. So Isaac is going with his dad early in the morning, and then all of a sudden the questions start in verse 7. Isaac says, you know, the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb? Dad, we got everything we need, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb. Whoa, just think of how rich that statement is. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went up together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar, and there he arranged the wood on it. Then he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." How crazy are those words? Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. You know, when we look at this covenant today, this is not a covenant where those who God was speaking with and directing, they sure weren't necessarily finding it easy to see peace in the midst of it, were they? Like, this is not a covenant of peace. Like, this is a covenant filled with inconveniences that grew and grew and grew until finally you figure the miraculous. Here is the joy. Here is the climax of the story. God did the impossible with me and my wife, Sarah. No, now you need to kill the babe. I imagine peace eluded Abraham, and yet Abraham kept moving forward, which always amazed me. That God asked him to do the inconvenient. God asked him to do the unbearable. God asked him to do the unquestionable. And yet he moved forward regardless of peace. Well, maybe people in here are finding it hard to see peace this season. And like I joked earlier about going down to the mailbox, I wasn't really joking. I have people who have never returned to church that stop me and they pour out their heart and they tell me awful things on the sidewalk. And half the time I'm trying to be very aware of our surroundings because I'm trying to guard them because they're getting it out. And you know what's been amplified to me is that we're still coming through this time where for many peace eludes them. We're living in a moment where peace is hard to see, and maybe you're there. You know, maybe your struggles are starting to say, you know what, man, I'm not sure if I can hear God right now in this season. What's wrong? Is it me? Maybe you've been living through a season where you say, I don't know if I can see God anymore. I don't know what's wrong. Is it me? And all of these questions have been continuing to build in you because you've been going through these moments where peace hasn't found you. And if you've walked with the Lord any length of time, you'll know that those moments when you can't seem to hear God and you can't seem to see God and peace eludes you, those are times that can break you. Those are times where you can lose your faith. Can you imagine the heart-pounding moments of Abraham and even Isaac as they start to walk up a mountain and the boy starts to become wise? We didn't bring a sacrifice. My dad's been acting weird. Why is he so quiet? The only answer he gives me is God is going to provide, and I sure don't see anything changing. It would have been very clear to Isaac when his father grabs him and starts to bind him that things have gone very, very sideways. Sometimes peace is hard to find. But it doesn't mean that God has forgotten his promise. That's why last week we talked about hope. God won't break his promise with you, even when we break our promise with him. And he has peace because he can see what you can't, because he is the one who is painting the picture. Was mankind worth saving? Right? The angel of the Lord says, now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Your only son. And I couldn't help this week but thank Abraham for his faithfulness despite the lack of peace because he kept moving forward, trusting God when God was asking him to do the unbearable. That Abraham showed a trust that, you know what, wow, there's been times in life I'm not sure that I could have shown that trust of being asked what he was asked. And yet, because of Abraham's faithfulness, despite peace, we know where that covenant would lead. It would lead to a Prince of Peace that would save mankind. Look at John 3:16. You know it very well. For God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave his one and only Son. His one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know that verse that we read in the journey to Bethlehem? We read it every year, Isaiah 9, those ancient words, for to us a child is born, a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? The Prince of Peace. From the chaos, God brings peace. From your chaos, God will bring peace. Sometimes you got to wait. But God isn't into breaking his covenant with you. Wait and peace will come. My prayer for you guys this season and this Sunday is that peace would be greater than your pain. That the thought of peace would be bigger than the conflict you may be in right now. That the idea of peace would be way bigger than your trust issues, because you'd say, wow, I can't see him, I can't hear him, I want to panic. Well, you can panic or you can continue to move forward. Whatever circumstance is trying to rob you of your peace, I want you to know that's not of our God. And he is bigger. That he will respond in the midst of the impossible. And just like Abraham, you can choose to trust and wait upon peace. He hasn't forgotten his covenant with you. Wait, wait, wait. We celebrate peace today because the Prince of Peace came. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I understand that especially in these seasons, everything is amplified. And that's awesome when we're going through a season of joy. That's awesome when we're going through a season of happiness. That's awesome when we're going through a season that is quiet. Those amplifications feel so good and so amazing. But Lord, on the seasons that are tough, everything is still amplified. So then those moments when you asked us to wait, it just feels unbearable because the pain and the time and everything just seems to be too much. Lord, for those that you are asking right now in their circumstance, in their situation, that you are asking them to wait and to hold on, remind them that love will find them. We already sang it today. Remind them that you don't break your covenant. Remind them that if we must wait, even though we don't want to, if we must wait, there is no better place to wait than in the shadow of the Almighty. Would your presence be peace enough until the peace we seek is revealed? We pray it all in the incredible name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. Remember, grief share is happening tonight, so if you have anybody who's asking about it, remind them that it starts at 3, and if they're a little nervous, why don't you come out with them? Right? You can bring them and sit with them, and that might be a good thing for them too. So God bless you and have an incredible week in the Lord. Remember, next week we are planning the potluck. So just kind of make plans this week as it goes by, because she's going to scream by fast. God bless you and have a good week with the Lord.